Okay, so Daf Chaf Hey, unless there's a very strong opposition, there are two topics that I wanted to cover from on Chaf Hey Amud Aleph from here into the Mishnah, and I basically want to skip the rest of the Muksa stuff. You know, like we'll read through the Gemara, but unless there's a strong opposition, my mind is melting from it. And like it's slightly different, but it's basically the same thing. So. Today we're just not talking about the Muksa things. What we are talking about is an implicit assumption that was in the Gemara in all this chaos. So if you remember, the Gemara had talked about different cases in which it is forbidden for one to benefit from that which a goy did for you on Yom Tov. One was the case, there's a whole series of cases of a goy picks a fruit for you, a vegetable for you, you gotta figure out, did he pick it on Yom Tov, not pick it on Yom Tov, etc. And the second series of cases was, and this is right, the top of Chaf Hey Amud Aleph, and the bottom of Chaf Dalet of Amud Beis, right? V'im Ein, V'yosem, V'chumber, Tochatchum, Mutter, Chutz, Lutchum, Aser. That if the produce in question isn't found within the tchum, so if it is, then it's permitted. If it's not, then it's forbidden. Now the assumption of the Gemara, therefore, is pretty clearly that you can't violate tchum on Yom Tov even for ochel nefesh, right? Right. That's right. The whole working assumption of the Gemara is that even though this is food that you were going to eat on Yom Tov, even if it was picked before Yom Tov, right? Because there was two separate cases. One was something that was picked on Yom Tov, and one was something picked before Yom Tov. And the only potential question is, where was it? The Gemara assumes that if something had been picked in a permitted fashion, it was picked on, 3 days before Yom Tov, but you have reason to believe that it was from outside the Tchum, it is forbidden.
That's a bit weird, because I'm surprised the first time I heard that, because
exactly, and this is what I want to deal with today, right? That assumption is weird, right? It's clearly the assumption of the Gemara. It's absolutely the assumption of the Gemara. That's what drove us crazy last week, is the Tchum question. But the Gemara clearly is assuming that you can't benefit from something that came from outside the Tchum on Yom Tov, which is weird, because Ochel Nefesh permits Malacha, among them is Hotzah, and Tchum is a much more lenient violation than anything else. Even if you think it's Daraisa, like the Rambam, more than Yud Beis Mil, it's not a Malacha, right? It's just a, presumably, but that's what we're going to examine a bit, it's a Stam, right? It's just a prohibition. Right? On Shabbos, for sure, right? And Yom Tov, Malacha as well is only a Lav, right? It's only a regular Malkus prohibition. You don't get the death penalty for it. But even on Shabbos, where Malachot carry the death penalty, they have capital punishment, Tchum doesn't, even if you think it's biblical. And for sure, if you think it's rabbinic. So the question then becomes, why? Why is this true? Why is it that Tchum cannot be violated for Ochel Nefesh, right? That seems to be a very, right, without getting all the...
Yeah. Is that what it's saying? Or is it saying, this is not Ochel Nefesh because it's books that you can't use it?
No, because even something that was it... Let's frame it differently, right? If it was... Right, even if you say that the reason it's forbidden when it came from Yikos Latchum is because it's Mukta, and therefore you weren't thinking about it.
Right.
That only begs the question, because that means that the Jew couldn't have gone outside the Tchum to get it, and therefore it was Mukta. But why shouldn't the Jew have been allowed to go outside the Tchum and get it? You can carry in a Rishus HaRabim D'Araisa, right? You could go in the middle of Times Square, right? Which is arguably a Rishus HaRabim. Let's say it's a Rishus HaRabim D'Araisa, right? And you could carry food on Yom Tov, right? So why couldn't you do Tchum, right? You want to say it's Mukta, but the only reason the Rishonim say it might be Mukta if it's outside the Tchum is because since you can't get to it, right? It was out of your mind. But why was it out of your mind? Why can't you get to it? Right? It only begs the question.
Doesn't Rashi equate this to the very first case of the egg?
Again, but that's only because the only reason you'd say it's mukta is because you assume you can't get to it. But that just begs the question. Why not? It's Yom Tov, and we allow things for food purposes, including carrying Rishus HaRabim D'Araisa. So why is Tchum different?
It's not that you can't get to it. You didn't think about it.
Right, but
you had
I assume Rashi thinks you didn't think about it only because
it's usur.
Because it's usur, right? Meaning, tchum isn't so far, right?
Yeah.
What? Oh, sure. Yeah, tchum isn't so far, right? I mean, tchum, how far is tchum, right? I mean, sure, in Toronto, to get outside of the tchum, you have to walk like 100 miles. But that's only because it's populated from here till God knows where. But if, let's say you live on the border of the town, right? How far is tchum? Tchum's 2,000 mil. It's, what is it, a kilometer? I'm saying it's not like, you know, I've walked from here to my in-laws. That's more, if there weren't houses the whole way, it'd be outside the tchum, right? If, you know, if I needed something on Yom Tov, you know, really needed something and I could walk to my in-laws, you know, that wouldn't be outside of the realm of possibility unless it was usur. So it only begs the question. And, you know, so that's what I want to deal with. So why would this be true? So in order to figure this out, we need to analyze the nature of tchum and figure out why wouldn't it be permitted on Yom Tov. So it all starts in the Mishnah, number one, where we find out that there is one position, leaving us for a moment the Rambam's position aside, but we'll come to it very soon, who thinks that tchum is doreis, and that is Rabbi Kiva. So the Mishnah says, "Bo bayom darash Rabbi Kiva umadasem mechutz la'eres ba'as kedma alpayim ama." You will measure outside the city 2,000 amos. Umikra acher omer mikirir b'chutz elef amas saviv. And elsewhere it says 1,000 amos. Now this is talking about the Arei Leviim, right? The city is given over to the Leviim. That outside the city you have to have 2,000 amos of some sort of open land. So the Mishnah says, what does it mean? 2,000 and 1,000? It's either 1 or 2,000. Can't be both. So Yev Shalomar Elef Amah Shekvar Nemar Alpayim Amah. Yev Shalomar Alpayim Amah Shekvar Nemar Elef Amah. It can't be 2,000 because you said 1,000. It can't be 1,000 because you said 2,000. So which is it? So Gemara says, the Mishnah says, okay, sad. Elef Amah Migrash Alpayim Amah Tchum Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, 1,000 Amah is the open space that you leave outside the Leviim city, right? Just to make it nice, right? You don't want it crowded, so you leave sort of a, you know, just like an open area to walk to for aesthetic purposes. And 2,000 amos is tchum shabbos. So in this Mishnah, we discover that Rabbi Akiva, at least, believes that the tchum of 2,000 amos is biblical, right? Now, he's an outlier. What?
Maybe, or it's an asmachta.
Or it's an asmachta, right? But we'll see. If you look at number two, right? In two, the Gemara makes it clear that it assumes that Rabbi Kiva means this on the level, not on the level of asmachta, but at the biblical level. The tchum, 2,000 amos tchum is, it's forbidden to walk that outside the range of the city, right? Outside the border of the city on Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kufnun Gimon Beis, says as follows, Oh, Tanan. HaMechalel es HaShabbos B'dor SheChayavin Al SheGigoso Chatos V'al Zidono Skila. The Mishnah had said, right, in its context of its discussion of how you could violate Shabbos, that if one violates Shabbos with something that, if you did it accidentally, you would have to bring a karban, you'd have to bring a sacrifice, and if you violated it on purpose, you would be held to the capital, you would be given the capital punishment. So the Gemara says, what does the Mishnah mean? Right? The Mishnah says, if one violates Shabbos at the level of capital crime, that implies, michlal, the ikimidi, the ein chayavin al shigaso chatas, v'lo al zedono skila. That implies that there is a presumably biblical violation of Shabbos for which one does not get the death penalty. Right? What is that? Right? It's not, so mainihu, lav de mechamer. So the Gemara says, is this mechamer, which we discussed a while ago, the prohibition of leading an animal on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, lo, right, which is, right, the Gemara is assuming that mechamer, that leading your animal is biblical. So the Gemara says, lo, this mission alone wouldn't prove it. Tchumen v'aliba de Rabbi Kiva, because maybe this magic biblical prohibition, which is not a malach, well, which is not a capital crime, capital offense on Shabbos, is the tchum according to Rabbi Kiva, v'havara aliba de Rabbi Yossi, or burning, right, lighting a fire according to Rabbi Yossi, which is clearly biblical, right? To pasuk lo sevaru eish b'chol moshe v'zeichem, but Rabbi Yossi throughout Shabbos says that the reason the Torah singles out Havara and has a special pasuk for it, right? Don't light a fire on Shabbos is to tell you that you can't light a fire on Shabbos, but it's not a capital crime. It's merely a law, the regular malchus, a regular lashes level prohibition. But the Gemara in Shabbos clearly holds that, according to Rabbi Kiva, walking 2,000 amos outside of the tum is a biblical prohibition, which is called michalel Shabbos, violating Shabbos, but not at the level of capital crime. Right? So this is Rabbi Kiva's position. Now, we don't paskin like Rabbi Kiva, and we rule that walking 2,000 amos outside the tum is derabanan. However, as we've sort of mentioned a few times, there is a position in the Yerushalmi that it's not so simple. Right? It's not so simple that tchum is always rabbinic. There are two types of tchum. There's tchum of 2,000 amos, and then there's tchum of 12 mil. Right? Now, 12 mil is obviously significantly more than 2,000 amos, right? 12 mil, whatever that is, right? Let's say a mil is slightly less than a mile, so let's say, I don't know, 10, 11 miles. Then that is d'oraisa. That is biblical. Now, do we paskin like this Yerushalmi? So that's a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam and the Rif say yes, and the Ramban says no, and that's what I gave you here in 3, 4, and 5. The Rambam 3 in the Sefer Mitzvah says, V'hu omru, al yitze ish mimkomo bayom hashivi. Right? Don't go out from your place on Shabbos. Uva hakabala shegvul halicha shi asura ma shenosaf al paim ama chutz medina vafilu ama achad. So dirabanan, right, we say that that is 2,000 amot. But in 4, the Rambam tells you, hayotze chut platchum ha medina b'shabes loka shenamar al yitze ish mimkomo bayom hashvi'i. The pasuk, right, tells you don't go out of your place on Shabbos. Makom zeh tchum ha'ir. Your place is the border of the city. The Torah didn't give you an amount. But now, quoting the Yerushalmi, he says, what is this biblical tchum that comes from the pasuk? It is 12 mil. The Kach Amar Lehem Moshe Rabbeinu. And where'd they get that number? They get it from Machane Yisrael. That was the size of the camp. The Kach Amar Lehem Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Tetsu Chutz LaMachane. The upshot of it was that Moshe had told the Jews, don't leave the camp of the Jewish people. Umidivrei Sofrim. And then we added a rabbinic level to the biblical one. Shal Yitzei Adam Chutz Leir El Ad Alpayim Ama. That you can't leave even 2,000 amos, avachot l'alpayim amah, aser, but more than 2,000 amos is forbidden. Shalpayim amah hu migrasha ir, because where do we get this notion? Because 2,000 amos is considered the aesthetic open fields around the city, right? The city border doesn't end at the last house, right? Everyone understands, you know, just like your house, your property doesn't end at your front door. It ends at your front yard and your backyard. So a city can have a yard, right? The city's yard is the tum. But the Rambam, like the Rif, rules that while we reject Rabbi Kiva's position, that tum of 2,000 amos is derabanan, is d'araisa, we accept the Yerushalmi's position that the larger tum, the 12 mil tum, is biblical. The 2,000 amah one is dirabanan, according to everyone, except for Rabbi Kiva. Yeah, Alan.
Yeah, isn't there a term for a cultivated area outside a city where people...
The Migrash.
Yeah, Migrash, sorry.
Right, that's what he said. That's the Migrash.
Is that the Tchum?
Tchum Migrash here. Well, that's the Tchum, right? That's what he assumes.
That's 2,000 amahs?
Well, that's what he says, right? It's Migrash is 1,000 for, right, is 1,000 for... I mean, he models it on the Ari Levium, right?
So that what's the 12 mil then? What's the 12 mil?
So 12 mil, so the way Rav Lachman...
12 mil more than 2,000 amos?
Yeah, much more.
So how can the 12 mil...
So he says 12 mil is d'oraisa, so he says.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so he says, right, midarabanan, you can't even go out of the city 2,000 amos. Midarabanan, you can't go 12 mil.
More than 12 mil.
Correct, more than 12 mil. You can't go more than 12 mil. We'll come back in a moment to what the difference might be between these, but let's just see the Ramban arguing, and then we'll come back to that.
And there's no reason to make a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Well, that's what we're going to have to figure out. But first, we've got to set up the prohibition. Yeah. But that's what we're going to try to get at.
Yeah.
So Ramban, in 5, says, Kosova Rav, everything he just wrote, Zevadai Taus V'kitzur B'mamar Zeh. Right? This is just a mistake. She'elohim Devei Rekiva. That's Rabbi Kiva. Damar al paim amad daraisa vein alach kmozo. Rabbi Kiva thought chum was daraisa. We disagree. Abu b'chiburu agadol. So this is on the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Right? The Sefer HaMitzvos, it sounded like the Rambam thought that 2,000 amos was daraisa. Right? And that, he says, is obviously a mistake. Right? 2,000 amos is not daraisa according to anybody but Rabbi Kiva. Yeah?
So presumably there's other people in the Mishnah that disagree with Rabbi Akiva.
Correct. Everybody else. I mean, I gave you the next line. Rabbi Lazar Bozer Maglili disagrees, and the Gemara in Shabbos puts him as an outlier. Now, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, what we saw is the Rambam seemed to say that 2,000 amos was actually Daraisa. The Ramban said that was clearly a mistake. That's not what he meant, right? HaKabbalah, he must mean, is there Rabbanan or something like that, or just a mistake? But he notes that in the Yad, the Rambam distinguishes between 2,000 amos and 12 mil.
And he says... Sense. What he says, I mean, the machla is not 2,000.
Right. And he says, "V'gam ze'enu nachom." He said, "This is also wrong." She'enu k'derech haTalmud shalanu. It is against the Bavli. It is in the Yerushalmi, but it's against the Bavli. V'lo hu's karashir hazeh b'talmudenu klal elo paim amadar raisul b'kiva tchumim midevrem l'drabanan. Right, in the Yerushalmi, in the Bavli, there's two possibilities. Rabbi Kiva holds 2,000 amos is biblical, and everyone else says all tchum is rabbinic. That's all there is to it. Now this is a methodological difference, because the Rambam assumes in general that if the Bavli is silent, we can pass on like the Yerushalmi. Not everyone agrees with him. Obviously. Right, we've said many places that Rabbi Kiva is the outlier for Tumen, and Rabbi Yossi is the outlier for burning. But the assumption of the Gemara is that for everybody besides Rabbi Kiva, everything on Shabbos that's Aser is Aser biblically. That's it. That's what there is. And Tum is not one of it. One of them. Okay. So we have so far is we have Rabbi Kiva's position that the Tchum of 2,000 Amos is a violation of Shabbos on a biblical level, but it's not a capital offense. You have the Rambam and the Rif's position, based on the Yerushalmi, that 2,000 Amos is Dirabanan, 12 mil is Daraisa. You have the Sefer HaMitzvahs where he does seem to paskin like Rabbi Kiva, but that may be a mistake, not really clear. And then you have the Ramban who just says, we don't paskin like this. No, it's simple, right? Either you paskin like the Bavli, which says against Rabbi Kiva that there is no Tum Daraisa, or you paskin like Rabbi Kiva, which we don't. Okay. So now, with that background, we have to ask a few questions, right? First question is, what is... So far we've just said, okay, Tum is Daraisa, Darabanan, different types of Tum. What is the nature of this prohibition, right? And should it or should it not apply on Yom Tov? Meaning, should we borrow it from Shabbos to Yom Tov, and does that depend on the nature of the prohibition? Right? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. So, first question then is, okay, we've used the very generic word for Rabbi Kiva, that Tchum is Aser. It's forbidden. What does it mean, it's forbidden? So there's two ways of taking that. One is to say that Rabbi Kiva thinks that on Shabbos, if we divide what's Aser on Shabbos, there's 39 Malachot, and then there is a regular Lav called Tchum, and then there's a bunch of Aseis, right? There's Zachor Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho with Kiddush and Avdala and whatever we include on it. And then there's their Abanans, right? That's basically Shabbos. But whatever Tchum is not a Malacha. The other possibility is to say that Rabbi Kiva thinks that Tchum is a malacha without capital crime, right? Now, that sounds weird, but that is the position, presumably, of Rabbi Yossi. Not about Tchum, but Havara. Right? When Rabbi Yossi says Havara is not a capital offense, presumably he's putting forth the position that there's such a thing as a malacha without capital offense. Now, why does it matter if it's a malacha or just a regular prohibition? The reason it might matter is for Yom Tov. Because the pasuk from which we derive Ochel Nefesh is talking about malacha, right? You can't do malacha. Ach, Asher Yosef. Right? Ochel Nefesh, hu levado yad salachem. The only malacha you're allowed to do is malacha oriented to food. Now, if tchum is a malacha without a punishment, it will still have the exception of Ochel Nefesh for a Bikiva. But if it's a standalone crime, it might not, because
if it's not a malacha.
If it's not a malacha, but it is biblical, so then it may not be magically caught up in that pasuk, because now, why would that make... Now, that's sort of one possibility, right? On a very linguistic, you know, linguistically, right? Yeah.
There's a certain... It doesn't make sense to that. Almost like a backwards call of a homer.
Correct.
Because it's not important enough to merit skila. But then you don't get the benefit of the exemption because it's not called a malacha?
Right, so one is to say, yeah, so it's a fluke, right? Second possibility is to say that wouldn't necessarily work, right? And besides, it won't work for us because we think it's derabanan. Now, the truth is that we have many derabanans that are usher, even when they would help us for ochel nefesh, such as havara, right? Havara, or lighting a new flame, right, is mutter on a biblical level. We forbid it because of molid. Right, which is derabanan. So if it's derabanan, you could say, well, we forbid it. Now, this all technically works, right, technically, but it doesn't really get at the heart of the question, which is, okay, maybe I can explain it, but why should it be true, right? Right, that's the bigger question, right? It doesn't necessarily make sense, yeah.
Why isn't there a third possibility?
I mean, there is, but yeah.
The whole pasuk regarding the tchum is for Shabbat. And if it's not a malacha, then we're not learning it from the Mishkan, and therefore it's not applicable to Yom Tov at all, period.
So, right, that's another right factor, which is, well, what is the process by which we derive the malacha on Yom Tov, right? Now, ostensibly, we carry them over from Shabbos to Yom Tov, but it's not so simple, because, and this is, as we'll see, one of the possibilities. The Ramban, for example, who we've seen, said it's not so simple. It's not true that we carry over malacha to Shabbos, from Shabbos to Yom Tov. The Ramban said what really happens is there's two categories. There's malacha and maleches avoda. There's, right, the 39 malachos, and then there's work-oriented malachos. And we just cut out the malacha that aren't work-oriented, and those apply in Yom Tov, and the plain malachot, so to speak, don't, right? But so according to the Ramban,
the pasuk granted say kol malacha or kol malachad avoda l'pasuk.
Because malachad avoda, right? That's his point. Is that if you look, right? Is that if you're careful, it says malachas avoda, right? So how do you define malachas avoda, and would it include tchum? So we'll see. Maybe that's going to be the key to it, because, as we've talked about, one of the keys in the Ramban, what's the difference between, for the Ramban, malacha and malacha zavoda, right? Meaning, isn't planting also for food, right? Planting's for food, why is it not mutter? So the Ramban said no. Malachas avoda, food-oriented malachos that are not malachas zavoda are things that are considered hachsharat ha'ochel, processing food. Anything which is too early in the process is not processing food, it's agriculture.
Did
It's
yes. Not in the context of Chala or something.
We did this at the beginning of the Perek, right? So this is throwing us back to the beginning of the Perek.
But that threshing or something.
We start off at Lush. Well, Lush and but. That Ramban gives us a hint as to why Tchum might be different, because Tchum, by its very definition, is, as you said before, a problem of getting things that are not naturally in the domain of the person, right? I mean, you have to exert yourself to get it, right? It's not the food which is already processed in your house, right? There's the difference, right? You don't consider it a chore. I mean, maybe you do, but not really, right? You don't consider it a chore when you have to go to your cabinet, but you do when you have to go shopping, right? That means there's still a step removed from you to the food, right? The tchum might be the halachic equivalent of that, right? It's just too far off. And that's what we're... But so all these ideas are going to be floating around as we do this. Now, before we continue into the sources, coming back to Alan's point before... One of the possible ways to think about this that will help us shape it is also to distinguish between the two levels of tchum, right? Meaning that you have these magic numbers, right? 2,000 amos, 12 mil, daraisa, derabanan, but is that all it is, right? Is it just magic, right? Like, so, they threw a dice and they said, okay, whatever number it comes up with, that's great, and this one is daraisa, and this is derabanan, and this is, or is there a certain logic to it? So the way I heard it from Ruchenstein is that it's not a quantitative difference, right? It's not like Rabbi Kiva said 2,000 amos, and then the Yerushalmi said 12 mil, right? He said if you look at it carefully, it's actually pretty precise. Because what does Rabbi Kiva say? Why does Rabbi Kiva say you can't leave 2,000 amos? Because what is 2,000 amos? It's Migrash Ha'ir, right? It's the, or to use our house analogy, it's your front yard. So what is Rabbi Kiva really saying the Yisur of Tchum is when he says you can't leave Migrash Ha'ir? What he's really saying is that there's a positive obligation to stay home, right? In the sort of city sense,
civilized
area. Right? Stay in your community, right? Stay in your town, however you want, right? That's what he's saying, right? Migrash is to city what your front yard is to your house, right? Don't. It's a positive chiyuv. Stay home.
Isn't it?
Right. That's what he said. It's don't leave your place, right? I mean, not your house, but your community, right? Your town, right? Stay home, right? Don't leave. Right? What is 12 mil? Right? That's not what 12 mil is, right? What is 12 mil? The Rambam tells you. It was the entirety of Machane Yisrael. Right? It's not don't leave your place, it's don't go somewhere. Right? It's the symbolic end of civilization is the entire camp. Don't traverse, right? Don't go to the edge of your city and then traverse the entire length of civilization. Right? So Ruchenstein suggested that it's not just a quantitative difference, it's a difference in what is the nature of this Isser. Rabbi Kiva says, Tchum is meant to keep you in Mikomo, right? Don't leave your place. 12 mil is saying it's not about staying in your home, it's don't travel, right? Don't go out there, right? Don't cross the expanses, right? Because that's what he's saying. He's saying, don't go to the end of civilization and then walk the entire length of civilization to somewhere else, right? That's not a question anymore about staying home, right? If you go to the end of civilization and walk 5 miles, right, you are out of your home. But you may not have gone to the next city, right? You may not have gone to a new civilization, right? 10 miles, 11 miles, 12 miles, right? You keep walking, at some point, you're in the next, whatever, you are, right?
What is the malacha for this?
Well, there may not be malacha. That's the question. Is this a malacha? And again, so now, it's possible, therefore, that the question of whether it's a malacha may also hang on this. Meaning, the Yerushalmi, which the Rambam Paskins like, that there is a d'oraisa to go 12 mil, He said, well, you know,
doesn't seem that.
Is that a malacha, right? Well, I mean, it's a pasuk, right? But is it a malacha? So it may depend, right? Rabbi Kiva might think it's a malacha, because if you think about it, right, malacha are sometimes like this, right? It's like minor acts, which we define as creative, right? Like, it's not creative per se, right? We constrain you in your, you know, dalet amos, right? Like carrying, right? You know, you can't carry your dalet amos, right? So you could say, look, I can't carry dalet amos or zarabim, and I also can't leave my house, my city, right? I can't, if I'm carrying, I can't even leave my house. And if I'm not carrying, I can't leave the city, right? So it actually shares something with malacha. But there's not quite anything which is similar to the 12 mil one, right? Don't, like, travel, right? That's sort of unique, right? Al yetzei ish m'mkomo. So, you know, this is already loose, but he said it could be that even if we accept the Rambam, based on the Yerushalmi, we may not think it's a malacha. Maybe Rabbi Kiva thinks it's a malacha and we don't, or maybe theoretically vice versa, right? That the 12 mil is a malacha and the 2,000 amos is just a regular lot, right? There's all types of possibilities. But all this becomes relevant, you know, all these factors, right? Daraisa, Darabanan, malacha, not malacha, what type of malacha, what types of malachas are also on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, right? All those become relevant when you try to figure out, well, okay, why is Tchumen Aser on Yom Tov? So that's what we're going to try to figure out now. So if you look at number 6, the Amudei Or.
Going through that whole discussion there, you want to somehow compare Al Yetzei Ish M'Mkomo with the Tchum to doing something creative with it. Saying, well, if you're mostly Rishut, you take an object from one Rishut to the other, there's something we don't see as creative, but it's somehow creative because it gets a lot. But Tchum is completely different from being mostly Rishut.
Right, even though we learn them from similar Pesuk, or the same Pesuk, right?
Well, but it's completely different. I think you're not doing anything to anything. You're doing things to yourself. You can say I'm being creative by taking the talus from here to there, because I'm changing the position of the talus. If you use it a different way here and a different way there, but I'm the same person.
Correct,
I'm from that chair to that chair. What have I done that's creative?
Well, that's what the Bali Tosfot would ask about carrying also, right? The Bali Tosfot would say carrying is the same way. That it's malacha grua, it's not grave, because mali po mali sham, right? Who cares?
Okay, but this is even more so, because at least you're changing the status of an object. But, and that's malachas are in general.
So, possibly, let me reshape it, right? Meaning, it's true that it's not really creative, but neither is carrying, because, well, let's put it this way, right? It might be less, but it also might be similar in the sense that one way of looking at it is, look, let's say, right, I want to eat at my friend's house, right? And we don't have an Eruv, right? And it's Rishus HaRabim. So I can't eat at my friend's house if I have the food at my house, right? I'm constrained. He will have to come to me because I can't bring the food to him, right? Now, Tchum can do the same thing, right? Meaning, carrying at some level is also oriented at constraining your movement, right? Because if I need my food somewhere and it's in a rishus, I'm constrained. You're right. The focus of the malacha is on the object. I can't bring the food from my house to Alan's house. But if I want to eat at Alan's house, but the food's at my house, now he has to come to me, right? So this tchum, at some level, accomplishes the same thing, right? Is if I want to eat at Alan, but Alan is outside the tchum, right? I'm constrained, right? Now, if one of us made an Erev Tchumen, right? So then, right? The one of us that can move it, that made it, can now move, right? But it's similar, meaning it's true that one is person-focused and one is object-focused. But often, look, I don't carry anywhere, basically, right? Because I'm a Talmud of Liechtenstein. So I feel this very much, right? If I want to go somewhere and I have an infant at home who can't walk, right? Yes. The Isser is on Ezra. I can't carry Ezra, right? But it's not Ezra that's feeling the constraint. It's me. I can't go out to eat, right, if I can't carry Ezra. So it does accomplish, right, this until you try to go for a Shabbos meal and then you realize you don't carry, right? You don't realize how much a constraint on an object is really a constraint on you, right? It's not on the object, right? It's, you know, it's only on the object if it's an object you can leave behind. If it's an object you can't leave behind, then you're just as stuck, right? Yeah, I've spilled my secret. I don't carry. There we go. Okay. Or it does. This is not like a...
That's how you get the kids to shul, John?
What?
That's how the kids get to shul.
Yes, that's how the kids get to shul. Exactly. Not in, in Manhattan, neither of us did, and therefore when we were living in the Heights, we
carry just... Carry in Israel, though.
I carry in certain Erevin. Lichtenstein was just very, very vehemently opposed to Erevin, and trying to carry in any Erev brings up the memory of when he yelled at all of us and told us not to carry, and I just can't do it. So that's basically what it is. And, you know, it was what Ray Willig once said, right? He said to his kids, he's like, he thinks that Erevin are good, but he heard the Rav tell him, you can't carry an Erev. He told his kids, look, I have nothing against Erevin. I've built Erevin, but I can't do it. I can't bring myself to do it, but you can do whatever you want because you didn't hear the Rav say you can't do it. So, fine, you know. His wife also doesn't carry, but that's a different story.
Erev is a social construct.
What?
Erev is a social construct.
I mean, Erev is...
You build a house, and then the Erev gets extended. You build another house, the Erev...
Well, I mean, look, all of Erevin is like that, right? No, you're expanding community.
Absolutely. It's just a construct.
I mean... It is, but so is all, you know, much of Halacha is like that. And it reminds me, there's this Raviel ben Nun in his, he has a sefer on a collection of his halachic writings called Mechevion Oz, which is fascinating because he's a bit of a, let's say, out-of-the-box thinker, let's put it nicely. So he has a an article, the first article I think is called, it's like halachic... realism versus legalism or something like that, whatever it's called in Hebrew. And he starts off with a story about Erevin, right? That there was an army that invaded in Prussia, I think. Like Prussia invaded somebody, whatever. Europe, they were always invading. Whoever, something like that. And they came to the city, and as they're invading, they see that there's a string around the city, and they start using it for whatever you need it. You know, they're an army. They're just settled down camp to tie up their, I don't know, their shoes, whatever. And one of the Jews realizes that they're pulling down the Erev. So they send the rabbi out, and, you know, he goes to the general, and he says, you know, with all due respect, look, we have nothing against you. I don't care under whose power we are. It makes no difference to us, right? Russia, Prussia, Poland, who cares? But you know, we have this ritual law that on our Sabbath, we can't walk, we can't carry outside unless we have these strings which make legal walls, because then legally we're inside, and you know, if you take this, it's really going to make it difficult. And the general said to him, a nation that can see walls where there is string can see string where there is air. Right, and that was the end of the story. Right, so you're right. Erev has this certain dimension of, you know, surreal experience to it. This is the beginning of his article on his attack on halachic formalism. It's very weird, but it's a good story, anyways. But you're right. Erev is very, you know, it's very hard to wrap your head around Erev. But I don't know if it's so true that it's different than so much else in halacha. Maybe a little bit. But look, what it is trying to accomplish is to, right, is to keep you all in one space, right? That's what you're doing, right? You're making it all virtually inside, right? Inside the same building, right? And through a magic string, right, Toronto is one big house, one big happy house on Shabbos.
I don't want you going out into the woods.
Exactly. Okay. Fine. Yeah, so now to here. Okay. So now let's try to pin it down. So the Amud Or in his Tshuva Yudalit says, "Mitoch Mashek Asavnu Mizbayer Dechol Zeh Shamarnu Detchumen Michlam Malachahin Huler Beikiva Desfir Le Detchume Alpayim Men HaTorah." So the Amud Or says the simple implication of Rabbi Akiva is that not only is Tchum forbidden, But tchum is a malacha. Right? And this, again, the simplest reason to believe that this is true is because it's true for Rabbi Yossi. Right? Rabbi Yossi on Havara thinks that burning is still the 39th malacha. He just thinks that it's not a capital crime. But it's still a malacha. Therefore, the Amudei Or assumes that for Rabbi Kiva, there were 40 malacha. Just one of them didn't carry the death penalty. Aval Rabbanan, but he says the Rabbanan, in the Yerushalmi, meaning what the Rambam paskin like, the Yud Beis Mil have a d'oraita lo pachot, ein lanu shum yesod lachshivam milacha. It's not a malacha at all. Now, to take this back to Rav Lichtenstein, one way of putting this is, for Bikiva, it's al yetzei ish mim komo, right? Stay home, don't leave your place, right? But there's that's sort of more quantifiable, and you can say that's a malacha, right? Don't step out of your place. Just like, you know, carrying dalet amos for sarabim is a malacha, right? It's so walking out of your makom, that's an act of malacha.
So it's a low test.
It's a low, right? Meaning, yes, it's lo al yetzei ish mim komo, but stay home, right? The upshot of it is don't leave your home. Let's put it that way, right? Don't leave your home, right? But Yud Beis Mil, as I said, isn't really like other malachot. It's not don't leave your space. It's stay within civilization, right? Now I've just flipped it, but fine, right? It's, right, don't go, right? When we say don't go to Yud Beis Mil, don't go into the, right? Don't traverse the entirety of civilization, go to the next civilization. But, right, that's not, right, this is how he sort of imagines it, right? That 2,000 amos is don't, right? Just like don't carry dalet amos, don't leave the city, right? Don't do it. Stay home, right? And don't do this, right? Don't carry, don't walk. Yud Beis Mil is remain in civilization, right? Right? So yes, if I have to, now I want to be careful on my don'ts and do's, even though obviously you can always formulate a don't as a do and a do as a don't, right? The way he's imagining it is that Rabbi Kiva says 2,000 amos is a malacha, the nature of which is don't carry, don't walk, right? Don't leave home. Daraisa. Well, Rabbi Kiva obviously said the daraisa, but it's not just daraisa; it's malacha.
So daraisa 2,000 amos, and then rabbanan is 12.
And then the rabbanan here doesn't mean me the rabbanan. He means the rabbanan in the Yerushalmi that the Rambam quotes.
Okay.
Right. But it's a iser on Shabbos, but it's not a malacha. Right. It's forbidden on Shabbos, but it's not a malacha.
But their positions are consistent in the sense that. And the people who hold the 2,000 amos as derisa also hold the 12 mil are rabbanan.
So Rabbi Kiva could agree with the rabbanan. The rabbanan don't agree with the Rabbi Kiva.
I just wonder how you get beyond the 2,000 amos to get into the 12 mil.
Well, I mean, because they could say that he could say that if you go out of 2,000 amos, it's one violation. If you reach 12 mil, it's another violation. Or they're mutually exclusive.
Okay.
But he says, why is this important? Because he says, this is how he defends the Rambam from the Ramban. Because the Ramban's question was, on the Rambam, how can you say that we hold that there is 12 mil, which is d'oraisa? The Gemara had said that nobody except for Rabbi Kiva thinks that there could be something which is considered violation of Shabbos that doesn't carry the capital punishment. But if everybody agrees that there is a point at which tum is d'oraisa, so the Gemara should have said, if you go past the tum of 2,000 amos, that's an iser daraisa for a bikiva. If you go past Yud Beis Mil, it's an iser daraisa according to Rabbanan. But everyone agrees that there is a non-capital offense that you can violate on Shabbos that is biblically prohibited called tum. They just argue about the number of amos you have to walk. So he says no. He said, the words weren't, did you do something usser? It's were you mechalel Shabbos. It's not, did I do something forbidden? It was, was I mechalel Shabbos? Mechalel Shabbos is, did I do a malacha? Right? Did I do one of the malachos? Rabbi Kiva thinks you can be mechalel Shabbos, meaning you can do a malacha without being held accountable for a capital offense. The Rabbanan may think that there are biblical things you can do on Shabbos, but they're not called Mechalel Shabbos because they aren't Malachos. It's like putting on the tefillin, your tefillin on Shabbos. Right? You shouldn't do it, But it's not a malacha, right? Don't do it. Because the word chilul only applies by malacha. Right? Even if putting on your tefillin on Shabbos is a violation of a lav, story for another time.
Yeah,
and actually, not another time. We actually did this. This is one of our first shiurim 3 years ago. 3 years ago on Tav Tesva, on Tav Tesva, a long time ago. But yes, it's usher. The lashon haTorah mechalin chulek al oseh b'malacha. Because right, how does he know this? Because the Torah says mechaleha kol oseh b'malacha. You might right, mechilul is malacha. Okay, so he assumes that it's malacha. The Marsha in 7 says it can't be true. Well, no, I take that back. Okay. It's malacha according to Rabbi Kiva, but not according to the Rabbana. Now, why is this important? So again, it might be important if you have this sort of interesting position that only malachos were waived on Yom Tov for Ochol Nefesh. Now, this is what the Marsha weighs in 7. And he says, Aval ha'emes yared darko, the truth will show its way, din gan kushya klal. Divadai ilu haya isher tumin b'chal malacha, haya b'chal heter achasher yachol ochol nefesh. Marsha says, you know why tumin is asher on Yom Tov? Because he takes this anomalous position. Well, I don't know, anomalous. He takes this position. The only thing which is mutter on Yom Tov are milachot for food. But if it isn't malacha, it can actually be more chamor than malacha. Because the malachot for food is what's waived. Malachot which aren't for food, and non-malachot which are for food, remain asur. Wow. And therefore, he says, now, lehalacha, you could still explain with the Amud Deor and say, okay, so maybe Rabbi Kiva would hold that chumin is mutter on Yom Tov. But the Marsha says it can't be because the Mishnah in Megillah says, Ein bein Shabbos le Yom Tov el ochel nefesh bilvad, and no one says, and according to Rabbi Kiva, tchumen goes in that. Right? And therefore, the Marsha says it must be that no one thinks it's a malacha, and therefore, since it's not a malacha, it doesn't get the special heter of ochel nefesh. And he says, Masha ein gen tchumen, sheneser hu iser bifnei atmo, lo mita malacha. It's usher, it's forbidden, for it's, because it is. Not of malacha. Share ein shum dana, sheyemachnes tchumen b'chal malachos ha-mishkan. Right? He argues on the Amud Or. He says, not true. You're misreading Rabbi Kiva. It's true that Rabbi Yossi thinks that Havara is a malacha without the capital offense, but whoever heard that there's 40 malachos, right? The only reason it works for Rabbi Yossi is because it's the 39th malacha. But if you want tchumen in, you have to have two chidushim. One is that there's such a thing as a malacha without the capital punishment, and the second is that there's 40 malachos and not 39. He says, no one said it. And no one counts it. Virak paid the krav iser bifnei atzmo. It's just the Torah says don't do it. She'enu inyan leser malacha ke iser chametz bePesach v'chadosh lifnei haomer v'chadome. There are other Torah prohibitions that apply on Yomim Tovim. You know, chametz on Pesach, for example, right? Chametz on Pesach is not malacha, but it's usher, right? Chadosh is usher. Eating on Yom Kippur is usher, right? They're not malacha. Okay. Well, you know what? Let me leave Yom Kippur aside, because that's actually not clear. I mean, it is clear. It's not malacha, but it may be that malacha is under Inuit, so I'm going to leave that aside.
So would it be usher in the Mishkan then? It's not one of the Lamentes Malachas.
Well, I mean, I don't know what it being usher on Shabbos. It's not part of...
Well, you're bringing, let's say...
I mean, I don't know what meaning usher... Meaning it would be...
For Shabbos.
I mean, it'd be usher. Yeah, it'd be usher on for the Mishkan because it's usher in general.
But you're putting all this according to Rabbi Akiva, which you don't hold by.
No, so he says even Rabbi Akiva can't agree with this, right? According to Amud Deor, right? The Marsha rejects this type of analysis because it says even Rabbi Akiva never said that Tchumen is mutter on Yom Tov, and therefore he says why? Because even Rabbi Akiva must hold it's not a malacha; it's just a standalone iser. And therefore, it's usher. Derabbanan d'oraisa, it doesn't matter. It's standalone. If it's standalone, it's usher. Right? And he says, why? Because the heter ochel nefesh is only, ochel nefesh only allows you to violate malachos for food, but non-food oriented malachos or other prohibitions, right? You know, it's like saying chametz and pesach, right? Chametz is kli ochel nefesh, right? Eating chametz would be ochel nefesh, right? It would taste good, right? But it's still aser on pesach, right? Meaning his point is there are prohibitions which are food oriented, which are still aser. And he says that's why tchum is aser.
There's a separate pasuk that tells you why you can't eat.
And well, right. So he just says, yeah, I mean, it's true, but he just says, you know what, that's the magic, right? Now, again, we're going to have to come back to next week why this makes sense, but he just, it's a linguistic thing, right?
Again, where I'm getting confused here is, forget about Rabbi Akiva's opinion for a moment, and go back to our Gemara, where we're saying that it was obvious that caring for outside the Tchuma was Aser. But if it's only the Rabbanan, then why is the issue Malacha? It's a Gzeira.
So far we haven't gotten there yet, okay. Right? So far, we're trying to figure out, let's start with Rabbi Akiva, okay. Right? Right? Let's start with Rabbi Akiva, and then we'll come to the Rabbanan, right? But or Yud Beis Mil, according to the Rambam, right? So the Marsha, first thing, according to Marsha, even Rabbi Akiva can't hold it's a malacha, because if it was a malacha, it would be a malacha for ochel nefesh, and it would be mutter. And therefore, he says it has to be a standalone prohibition. Now, this explains not just Yud Beis Mil, right? 2,000 Amos, it explains Yud Beis Mil, because if we pass like the Rambam, that Yud Beis Mil is Asher Midaraisa, Marsha says the reason you can't violate that on a biblical level, right? I mean, he's saying, Benkach u Benkach. It's true, 2,000 Amos is Derabbanan. But according to the Rambam, Yud Beis Mil is Daraisa. Why then is it a biblical violation to go Yud Beis Mil? Marsha says, because it's not a malacha. And only malacha get waived for ochel nefesh. Let's just finish the Marsha, and then we'll come back, and then we'll finish next week. He says, Ma'in and Zed Leheter ochel nefesh. Vein shum makom latiru, zer ochel nefesh, and midaraisa. It's biblical, and it's not a malacha, so it's aser for ochel nefesh. I'll prove it to you. First sugya in Beitza is that a egg born on Yom Tov is Asr. You can't eat it. That's food oriented. It's Ochel Nefesh. And the Gemara says Asr. And according to Rabbah, it's Asr biblically because of Hachana. Since it wasn't prepared before Yom Tov, because it wasn't born, it's, according to Rabbah, biblically forbidden because it wasn't Muchan. Which tells you that there's such a thing as a standalone non-malacha prohibition that's food-oriented that will remain aser. Lo b'chol malacha v'lo huter b'acha sh'yachol chol nefesh. Im kein barur shein lavi mechuz l'tchum l'tzor chidish. And therefore he said, let's say you don't have grape juice and the only grape juice is outside the tchum, too bad. According to everybody. But so far, according to Marsha, why is this true? Because he takes a very formal approach. What is waived on Yom Tov? Only Malacha. Anything which is standalone prohibition, Daraisa, and presumably Darabanan as well, is not waived, even for Ochel Nefesh. He doesn't explain why. He gives a linguistic explanation. The Pasuk says that all Malacha is Asur, except for Ochel Nefesh, which tells you that the magic of Ochel Nefesh only permits Malacha, everything else. Not. Why, conceptually, he doesn't explain, and that's what we're going to have to come back to next week. I've already sort of hinted at it, but that's what we'll have to come back to, because I do have to get to Mario.